You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Fries, anyone? So during the top of the hour news break there, Dana says, Scott, can you give me your key card? My Uber Eats has just arrived. And she comes walking in the door with the bag so big it actually hit the door frame leading into the studio.
I ordered a burger and fries.
And I said, what did you order? And she goes, I don't know. She puts the bag down, pulls out a burger, and two gigantic orders of fries. And by gigantic, each one could feed at least four people.
Yep.
What was the total on your order?
$35.
Oh, my God.
This is the problem with multitasking when we're on the air. And I haven't eaten all day, and I know I'm trying to do better about that. But the day got away from me today. I had Jiffy Lube issues, you know that. Mm-hmm. Just stuff got in the way today. So we're on the air, and I'm like, my God, I'm going to have to eat before 6 o'clock, or I'll be dying. What can I do quick? Apparently, Culver's has something on it called family-style fries. And because we were on the air, I wasn't paying attention. I ordered two orders of fries because I wanted to share with Q.
Two extra, extra large?
And I wanted to share with you. I thought, you know, when it said one or two, I thought, well, I'll get two, and I'll share with Scott and Quentin because I'm a nice person that way. I did not realize I had actually hit the button, please order enough fries to feed all of Mission, Kansas through the holidays.
So your lunch order was $36?
Yes.
And when you were plugging that in, you didn't realize that it said $36? At which point you would say, ooh, I ordered too much.
Yeah. I did not see the total, Scott, because I was on the air.
That didn't happen.
I appreciate the mistake.
Yep. Unbelievable.
You're going to eat for days, Q.
For days.
Go over to mom and dad's for Christmas.
What do we have in fries?
I brought mom and dad. Bunch of Culver's fries.
Fries again. Okay.
Hey, we got an air fryer. You know, we can reheat those bad boys up.
Yeah, you can.
That's right. Neil Cavuto has just left Fox News.
Oh.
After 28 years. His final show was on Thursday of last week.
Dignity with him.
He had been at Fox since its inception in 1996. Also hosted on Fox Business Network, and was not considered one of the stable of opinion hosts. He was very matter of fact.
That is a long time to be at one place in the media. You know that.
28 years.
That's a long time for one spot.
He actually, well, thank you for reminding me because I've been here for 28
Speaking
years.
Speaking of, yeah.
Is it time for me to go?
If I had one French fry for every year you've been here, I still wouldn't have enough French fries.
Wow. Wow.
Americans will truly measure in anything except the metric system. Now we got French fries.
I know, right?
Cavuto is 66, stayed on the job through a number of health issues through the years. He has MS.
I didn't know that.
Underwent heart surgery and bouts of long COVID. Okay. No immediate word on who's going to replace him. Luigi Mangione was in court this morning.
Oh, do tell. Why are we so obsessed with this case?
Because I think he's going to walk.
Ooh.
I really do.
I don't know that I can agree with that.
You know, they had...
He shot and killed a man in near broad daylight on one of the busiest streets in the world.
OJ slit two throats.
You know what? Touche. You are absolutely right.
And he walked.
You are absolutely right.
Why? Because the jury was trying to send a message. That's where the similarities with these two cases lie.
With one glaring difference, and that difference being there wasn't surveillance video of OJ at the scene doing what we all know he did.
No, but there was insurmountable DNA evidence.
A very large, very expensive shoe only owned by 57 men in the world. Yeah.
There was a motive. There was a history.
Yeah.
There was everything you would have needed.
There was also Mark Furman. I mean, for everything you're saying, sure. I could say, I just don't know with the overwhelming mound of evidence directly showing him at the scene, showing the receipts he's going to have on the way there, showing his cell phone that's going to show that's exactly where he was. Like, it's a little bit different.
There was, I was watching the news this morning. I started watching cable news again this morning to get ready for the show. There were, I believe, three rows in the courtroom set aside for the public.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you have the news media, you have family, you have, and then they set three rows of benches aside for the public.
Yeah.
Filled with 30 to 40 members of the public, mm-hmm. almost all of them young women.
Are you serious? Waited in line for a shot at catching a glimpse of those professionally arched eyebrows?
Outside court, and one of the reporters on, I think it was CNN, I can't remember, I was watching all three this morning, said they rarely ever have protests outside of New York courthouses. There were people carrying signs that said, Free Luigi.
Okay. You're also saying that he yucked it up in court, apparently, was just kind of goofy and...
No, actually, he wasn't. They had video. This was New York courtrooms do not normally, federal and state, do not normally allow for audio or video recording. The judge made an exception in this case because of the high public interest and allowed the video cameras to record the proceedings, but they couldn't air them live.
Okay.
So there he is in, I believe it was like a salmon-colored or...
It's maroon. I'm looking
maroon,
at it.
Okay. Sweater.
He repeatedly flashed a grin and looked around the court with furrowed brows and a smoldering expression.
So when the prosecutor was speaking to the judge, and they were going back and forth on a handful of things, Luigi was very attentive, would frame his eyes on the prosecutor when he spoke. When he was done speaking... would turn and face the judge. Now, keep in mind, he's in civilian clothing, but he is shackled at the waist and at the ankles. So he doesn't have his hands on the table.
Right.
His hands are underneath the table. But I thought he was very attentive. There were a handful of occasions where he would turn in his chair and look back at the adoring women who had shown up in court.
Look at him just grinning ear to ear as they're bringing him in. And Scott, did you see, because I know you were gone, the like 200 strong manpower of law enforcement that
much.
Has come on.
Well, and that was one of the things that his defense lawyer argued in court was this was the perp walk to end all perp walks. This was completely biased and was framed to make him look like he was guilty before he had been proven guilty. And Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, showing up, walking behind him as he's coming off this helicopter, then holding a news conference.
Oh, yeah. It was a...
And she said it was...
Dog and pony show unlike almost any we have seen.
And they made the argument that, or she made the argument, that he is being treated like a ping pong between warring agencies, read that, the state and the feds.
Who want their camera time with him.
And who want to go first with their cases. And so he's bouncing back and forth between the city of New York Police Department and the FBI, not knowing where he's going next. And I do not read this in any way as a defense of him. I'm just trying to look at it analytically. When you allow 40 members of the public to go into this courthouse, and they're almost exclusively young women.
Yeah.
Who are there because, I'm assuming, maybe I shouldn't infer this, that they find him attractive and they want to be with him.
There are also signs showing the conspiracy theorist's claim that in one of the photos taken by surveillance cameras, his eyebrows are too shaved in the center for it to be him. There are like side-by-side photos.
He's a patsy?
No, side-by-side photos on these gigantic signs saying the evidence doesn't match. It's like, oh my God, people are breaking this down on the internet via eyebrow hairs, Scott, trying to show it's not him, let him go.
Well, they're very pronounced.
And by they, I mean women. It's all women.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
As obviously younger.
Yes, the fries are good.
Yes, they are good. Obviously, I was not around for the OJ trial. Is this sort of how that got off started, where it was like there was just this, you know, media frenzy that dived all over it?
Yes and no. OJ was bigger. OJ was
because he was an NFL player.
Well, he was more than an NFL
there
player.
Was a chase.
He was an actor
at low speeds.
He was a sportscaster. He's a good looking guy. And on the surface with OJ, he was already a known factor for years and years and years. Heisman Trophy winner long before the murders of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson occurred. And then to Dana's point, there was the chase. There was the why would anybody do this if they have everything that OJ has? And then couple that with a 9-month trial in a nation in the 1990s that was embroiled in racial tension over the Rodney King trial that was also in Los Angeles, and the burning of, you remember when downtown Los Angeles burned?
I know about the LA riots.
It was just different. But I mean, there was a lot of media attention back then.
The sweater he's wearing in court is a $1,000 Maison Margiela sweater.
Mm, yeah, I have one of those.
It is $1,000.
He's rich. He's rich. By the way, people are donating to his defense.
Oh, in droves,
Scott. Yes, they are.
I think the article was $200,000 has what has been publicly raised online.
200 grand.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, is there a limit on the number of mistrials that you can have before, as a prosecutor, you either have to let them go or you just quit?
Like a dollar amount limit?
Well,
where you have spent so much money trying and trying and trying and failing that...
Or let's say you get to 2-3 mistrials or hung juries and you just say...
I don't know that I've ever heard anything more than 2. It would be very rare to have 3. And there's certainly, I don't think, has ever been 4. We'd have to look.
I've never heard of that. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, Quentin Morris. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So today is December 23rd, and if you're a Seinfeld fan, you know that this is the actual day of Festivus, the airing of the grievances. So we couldn't let this day go by without opening it up after 5 o'clock to what we'll do, gratitudes and grievances. You don't have to have a grievance, but we're off tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, back on Friday. And we'll do another Festivus Friday on Friday, but this will be Festivus for the Festivus.
Yeah. It's actually Festivus.
Yep. Story here, we're going to do that right after 5 o'clock. Story here from the AP. Russell Hedrick, a North Carolina farmer, flies drones to spray fertilizers on his corn, his soybean, his wheat fields at a fraction of what it would cost him to use a conventional ground spreader. As a volunteer rescuer, Hedrick uses thermal drones to search for people trapped in mudslides, and cargo drones to send water and baby formula to those who were stranded, something he had to do during and after Hurricane Helene. Now he is fretting that one day he will have to ground his drone fleet. Most commercial drones sold in the United States, including those used by Hedrick, are made in China. Yep. And they're worried about, you know, possibly...
Are they all simultaneously flying over New Jersey?
Well, did you see the story about the drone Christmas accident?
No. That,
yes. And there is I believe, a 5-year-old child.
No.
Who is currently in surgery. Some of the drones, you know how they do the beautiful, rhythmic exhibit up in the sky? Two of the drones hit each other.
Oh.
Which threw them into other drones. Drones were falling from the sky, and one landed on I believe he was a 5-year-old kid.
Orlando.
And he was having open heart surgery.
Yeah,
open heart surgery earlier today in a hospital.
What was intended to be a dazzling festive spectacle ended in injury to a 7-year-old boy after several drones unexpectedly fell from the sky during a show in Florida Saturday night. Video shared by spectators show dozens of lit-up drones flying in synchronization, forming Christmas-themed shapes like swans, doves, Santa Claus, and presents. A few minutes into the show, multiple systems began dropping to the ground.
Yep, they ran into each other.
Oh, my God.
If you see the video, I mean, they're just falling out of the sky, straight down to the ground.
My God, listen to his mother, Scott. Everyone's natural instinct was to duck and scatter, and before we realized it, my daughter found my son on the floor unconscious. He had blood coming out of his face. Drones are only as good as the operators or those who program them to do the dazzling light things. We've seen this during the 4th of July, where some cities are opting to do drone displays versus the traditional fireworks. You better be darn sure that you know what you're doing if you put on one of these shows. My God.
Well, and what's going to end up happening, especially with what was going on in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, is that still happening?
There is an imprint of the drone on his chest. These things are huge. They're not tiny.
No, I know. I know. These are not the little drones that you first saw when they came onto the market several years ago. These are, like the ones over New Jersey, the size of small SUVs. The ones that they use in these displays are not that big, but they're not those tiny little drones you would get at Target.
Listen to this. The city of Austin was planning to include a drone show by Sky Elements, the same company, in its New Year's event December 31st. A spokesman said today that show has been canceled.
Yeah, I really do believe this, and I'm not an alarmist. I think drones are fascinating. Maybe someday I'll get one myself and, you know, go onto a field or whatever and fly it around when I'm bored and retired.
Oh, God, in the video you hear one child go, are they supposed to be falling?
Right.
But
America's going to need to have a little come to Jesus meeting with itself over how and when these things are used. Because what was going on over New Jersey 2 weeks ago or last week?
Yeah.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable. And then you have these displays where, why is anyone underneath
Bingo.
The actual drone display?
But maybe they weren't directly underneath it, Scott. And because they started colliding, you know, the drones aren't going to drop directly like a rock from the sky.
Well, they did glide? In the video that I saw, you know, it was at night. Obviously, because that's the only way you're going to be able to see the display. But these you see a handful of drones, and they're in a square formation, and there's, God knows, dozens of them. And you start to see a couple of them, like, smack into each other. And then they just drop straight down.
Now, let me tell you a good drone use. When I went to the Chiefs game the other day, we talked to the fire chief the other day, Scott, about Jackson County Fire has a bunch of now licensed drone pilots for use over the parking lot at Arrowhead so they can quickly find you. They've saved like 8 people using the drone. So if someone calls and says, I'm having an emergency, where are you parked? I'm wearing red and we're by a barbecue grill. Okay.
And an SUV.
That narrows it down to 70,000 people, right? When I was walking into the stadium, you could see the fire department, like huge, like trailer display where they were based. The drone was actually tethered. It was way, way, way up in the sky, but there was a string leading all the way down to the command center trailer, and it was tethered right there.
Why?
Well, because there wasn't a need at that point to have it flying willy-nilly over the parking lot.
Okay.
And I looked at that, and I said to my friends, I go, that's that drone that we were just talking about on the program that's used to find you quickly, not your car. They're not going to help you find your car, but to find you quickly if there's an emergency. So they can be used appropriately for great things.
Well,
finding missing kids with autism, finding someone who's wandered into the woods, like all that stuff.
There are heat-censored drones that you can use at night to fly over a field if somebody's gone missing.
There's also alien drones if you want to fly them over New Jersey.
Well, of course. Or you're looking for a suspected criminal and you think they're out in the woods. My only concern is, A, the situation in New Jersey. B, what restrictions are there on drone usage for these elaborate, very entertaining displays?
Yeah.
You know, are people allowed to be underneath the display itself? And what happens when, and you know this is coming in our lifetime, what happens when Amazon starts delivering packages to your home?
You know it's coming.
By flying over mine. And what happens when CVS delivers your prescription to your front door after they just flew over my house? And who controls the traffic? I mean, as far as I know, there is not an air traffic control for drones.
No. And so if one is flying to deliver something to you and crashes or drops from the sky, we talked about this when we were first talking about CVS or one of the big conglomerates using these to deliver prescriptions.
I think it was Walmart.
It's going to happen. We are heading that way. Can we prevent them from injuring or killing someone on the ground? I don't know that we know that.
Because it's going to end up being cheaper for companies like Amazon to fly an electric drone through a neighborhood, drop off an item at this house, run back to either the truck or the warehouse, pick up another package, just fly it right back over. Drop it back off.
We will update the story when we come back. Apparently, a large portion of the Santa Cruz Pier just broke in half and fell into the ocean amid a high surf warning. Water rescues are underway.
Oh, my. Look at that.
Wow.
You know, were there people on it?
Yes. Do we have severe weather in California right now?
Well, there is a story in the stack, something about dangerous waves in the Northwest.
Woo!
I'll look for it during a quick break. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So if there can be good news out of a pier collapse in the Pacific Ocean, it is this. According to KRON, the Santa Cruz Wharf collapsed and was floating away.
The restaurant bathroom portion of the wharf.
Three people were thrown into the ocean when the pier section collapsed. Two of them have been rescued, and a third person was self-rescued. I read that swam to shore. The collapse comes amid a major swell that is expected to bring wave heights of up to 26 feet high to parts of the central coast. And they were also saying in one of the stories that we had earlier that they're expecting some very, very high waves in the Northwest United States. Read that, Oregon and Washington State.
But those piers are built, you know,
supposed to be
to withstand. We looked at the waves during the break. They're robust. I'm not going to lie. They're up there.
But they don't crest the
they're
right on the same level as
yes,
the pier.
But it's not like Hurricane Katrina waves.
No. Nor wind like hurricane.
But what you see
wind.
When, you know, you start looking online, the entire bathroom area of that restaurant is in the water. And I said to Scott during the break,
can you imagine being on the pot?
Can you imagine?
My very first thought.
You've ordered your lunch. You're like, I'm just going to take a little biological break. I'll be right back. And then the next thing you know, you're in the ocean on a toilet.
Yeah, you order a couple family-sized fries.
Right?
Then, you know, you got to go
God.
Hit the crapper.
First you say it, then you
do it. God.
Speaking of first you say it, then you do it, a ski lift at a resort in Colorado cracked on Saturday.
Oh, God.
Leaving up to 174 skiers and snowboarders stranded for hours. The gondola lift at Winter Park Resort came to a halt when its system detected a crack shortly after noon, according to resort spokeswoman Jen Miller. The lift passengers were each lowered down by ropes. The process took 5 hours.
No.
Leaving some riders stuck in the air for most of the day. Ski patrollers reached the cabin of each suspended gondola from above, and then lowered the passengers' equipment to the ground before using a rope attached to each seat to safely move everyone back down to the snow below.
I have an obsessive fear of the gondola. I just assume when I am near one or on one, it is going to swing and dump me out and kill me. That would be one
have
of my fears.
Have you ever been on one?
Yes, and I've almost been thrown off one.
Oh, you were on the ones that were like benches.
Yes, that are so fast. And it's coming, sit. Oh, you missed it. And when I went to sit, it was in a backswing. And I went to sit.
Oh, no.
Scott, my skis went flying. I was screaming. I mean, it was horrifyingly funny, but with an emphasis on horrifying.
So the worst ones are, and I've never been on these, but I've seen videos because I like to watch videos where people screw up and then like
fall,
knock each other over and stuff. You know, as long as nobody gets severely hurt. But they also have some of these lifts where it basically looks like a hook.
Yeah.
And you're never in the air. They pull it down, it hooks beneath you and your partner, and you hold on to the main part of the hook, and it just pushes you up the hill. You just keep your skis straight.
No, I'm out.
No problem.
No.
But when you start goofing around, you move your skis one way or the other, you fall out of it. Out of the hook, and then you just start going down the hill and you take out everybody else behind you. Oh, by the way, I think Snow Creek opens in the next couple of days.
It hasn't been open?
I don't think so. Hmm? Louisiana's prison system routinely holds people weeks and months after they have completed their sentences, according to the U.S. Department of Justice in a lawsuit that was filed over the weekend. The suit against the state of Louisiana follows a multi-year investigation into what federal officials say is a pattern of systemic over-detention that violates inmates' rights and costs taxpayers millions of dollars per year.
Clearly, it would violate an inmate's rights.
The DOJ alleges that since at least 2012, more than a quarter of the people due to be released from Louisiana prisons have instead been held past their release dates. DOJ warned Louisiana officials last year that the state could face a lawsuit if it didn't fix the problem. The problem is simple. If I'm to be released on December 23rd, and it's December 23rd...
You get to go.
You open the door.
The problem is the inmates don't have the money to hire an attorney. They need the ACLU or someone to step in.
What would be the benefit of... And I'm being serious. This is not a rhetorical question.
Yeah, because you need the space.
Well, and you don't want to waste taxpayer money. And let's be honest, these guys have served their time. What would be the benefit of keeping people past their release date? And what warden would put his...
Sloppy administrative bureaucracy is my guess.
Do they have private prisons?
They might. That's a great point.
Because it might
That's a great point.
It might be like they have a private prison problem.
You mean where the private prison wants to make a little bit more change?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so they keep people in a little bit longer.
Not okay.
And as long, you know, they don't care as long as the beds are filled.
Great point. Great point. The current governor is blaming the past administration. Okay.
Okay.
All right. do you want to talk about the pardons today or the commutations?
I think we should mention it only because we are so conflicted, Scott, on this program about the death penalty and how bad we are at
administering
administering that sentence.
Yeah.
We are not looking to make it a topic, but I think it's a huge news story today.
So earlier today, the president... commuted 37 federal death penalty sentences.
To life.
Life in prison with no parole.
No parole. They're not getting out. They're just not going to face the federal needle in the arm.
So this is 37 people. Yep. There are 40 on death row. Three remain on federal death row. One being Fathunk's brother.
Yep. Boston Marathon bomber is one of them.
Correct.
The person who went in and slaughtered all of those people at the church.
Nine people in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yep.
And then there was another who shot up a synagogue in Pittsburgh, yep. Pennsylvania. Those three remain on federal death row. Their sentences were not commuted. And, you know, it was, I remembered when I was watching the news this morning and I thought about the Boston Marathon bombing. God. Which, if I'm not mistaken, was very early on in our time together. I believe it was in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. So that kid's been on death row. He's not a kid. He's a evil, horrible human being. But he's been on death row for 11 years now.
Yep.
And he's probably got
We don't kill them quickly when we kill them.
No, you know, the only one who actually showed even a modicum of respect for the system, and I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, is Timothy McVeigh.
Well, but he only showed respect for the system because he wanted to flaunt it and said, I'm not going to appeal.
Fair point.
I know what I did. This is what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Take my life for it.
And that bombing was in 1995. Oklahoma City bombing was in 1995. Timothy McVeigh was dead before September 11th of 2001. He never, thank God, got to see somebody else wage war against the United States. And he was gone by 2001, if not 2000. I can't recall. And then a Navy F-18 Super Hornet was shot down over the Red Sea in a friendly fire incident.
I saw that over the weekend.
Yeah, two U.S. Navy pilots were shot down while flying over the Red Sea on Sunday in an apparent friendly fire incident. Both pilots ejected from their aircraft and were recovered alive, thank God, after a ship in the USS Harry S. Truman Carrier Strike Group mistakenly fired a missile at their F/A-18 Super Hornet. The plane had just taken off and was fired upon with a guided cruiser missile from the USS Gettysburg.
Somebody's getting called in. I hate to bring up TWA Flight 800, but I will.
I can't wait to hear this.
I have always thought, and there is some evidence to suggest, even with those who investigated that awful day at the highest level of government and military, I have often thought that it was mistaken friendly fire that brought that plane down.
But what would they be? Why would they be shooting at a plane?
There was a training exercise going on that day. I don't think they meant to. I think just like what the story you just read, I am convinced that is what happened with Flight 800.
Planes do not just drop out of the sky.
No, they don't.
And you're right. There is plenty to question about TWA 800. But even in a live training exercise, you're not. The Navy is not shooting at planes flying over the largest city in the United States.
Too many people on that shoreline that were just there hanging out. Just people just hanging out. Too many people reported seeing the exact same thing, and that was the trail.
What if it was a terrorist missile?
Of smoke that looked like, you know, like what's going toward that plane, and then the plane fell out of the sky. It looked like something was, with that chemtrail behind it. Yeah. Going toward that plane before the plane fell.
Could it not be terrorism, though?
I think it could have been. There were also, I think, FBI guys, if you go back and look, you remember they took all of the pieces from that fuselage they could recover, and they put it in a hangar, and they painstakingly reconstructed it.
Which, by the way, I don't even like puzzles.
Too many people that saw that said the blast impact looked like, at the point of blast, it looked like it came from the exterior in. Look it up. I'm telling you, there's a documentary on that thing, and you will swear something hit that plane.
But I would be more inclined to believe that it was a terrorist attack than I would be that the Navy was, like, live fire testing off the coast of New York City and shooting at actual things in the sky. I mean, that is not, I would like to believe, how the Navy does their
testing. Reread the story you just read, because I would like to think that that's not what planes do, fire upon other planes. Sometimes mistakes happen. I don't even think it was necessarily intentional. I'm telling you, I have always said something that should not have been in the sky that was trailing upward and looked like a missile hit that plane.
913-586-7798.
Let's launch a conspiracy theory 10 minutes before Festivus.
We're going to do Festivus
Google
Monday,
results.
Because today is the actual day of Festivus. It is December 23rd, and if you're a big Seinfeld fan, you know that December 23rd is Festivus. So we're going to do Festivus coming up right after 5 o'clock here on Dana and Parks. I just bring you this news. This song is so cheesy.
It's so bad, but every rose does have its thorn.
Former President Bill Clinton was admitted to a hospital this afternoon in Washington, D.C., where he is undergoing testing and observation after developing a fever. His deputy chief of staff says the president is fine. He remains in good spirits, deeply appreciates the excellent care that he is receiving. He was at home in Washington, D.C., when he was taken to Georgetown University Hospital.
Did you see we had a flight diverted due to a, quote, unruly customer coming from Las Vegas? Emergency landing in Kansas City this morning due to, quote, unruly behavior.
Can you define unruly behavior?
You know it when you see it. Is there such thing as ruly behavior? She's been really good that day.
I think we
She's
call that
very ruly.
Behaving.
No, why is it unruly, but there's no ruly?
Let me look up and see if there is a word for ruly.
God, she just never gets in trouble. She was such a joy in her teenage years. So ruly.
it means orderly, well-behaved.
It is a word.
Yes. You can, like, for example, orderly, well-behaved, or tidy. So here's some of the ways they use it. A small, ruly beard.
That is a word that no one ever uses that is a word.
A ruly crowd of protesters, neatly dressed and carrying placards, stood patiently outside the courthouse.
Well, you suck at protesting if you're ruly.
As far as groups of young children go, this one was unusually ruly.
Quote, Delta has zero tolerance for unruly behavior and will work with law enforcement authorities to that end. We apologize to our customers for their delay in travel, but welcome to Kansas City for the time you were here.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. Well, hang on. I want to take this one. Chuck in Warrensburg. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I know what he's going to say. Before you even say it, I know what you're going to say, Chuck.
Okay, go ahead. Repeat it then.
You're going to say that every landing is a controlled crash with airplanes.
Well, no. Along that line, I'll say from a pilot friend, knowledge is great, but Landing takeoffs are optional. Landings are mandatory. Okay.
Yes, that is true.
Now, earlier you said perfectly good airplanes don't just fall out of the sky. I'm sorry. Engines quit, oxygen out.
Well, then it's not a perfectly good airplane.
Lightning, they fall out of the sky all the time.
Well, I would argue if an engine goes out, Chuck, it is not a perfectly good airplane. Lightning, I'll give you lightning.
Do you work at the university airport?
No, I've got 25 years military aviation experience, though.
Bragger. Did you ever have an unruly customer on board?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, friend. Well, be well, be safe. Have a very Merry Christmas. Real quick before we get to Festivus Monday, because today is the real day of Festivus, a Springfield, Missouri man who is a Star Wars figurine collector, all that stuff, gets the Millennium Falcon, the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into a vintage stock location in Springfield just to check out what they've got.
Sure.
Maybe they've got something in there that he doesn't have. He's looking around at the Star Wars stuff. He's like, yeah, I got that. I got that. Yeah, I've got that Millennium Falcon. That looks just like my Death Star. Because it was.
No.
Yes.
He found his own stolen stuff?
His own. He didn't even know it was stolen.
Stop it.
He had kept his Star Wars collection in a storage locker, $8,000 worth. Goes over to the storage locker. His stuff is all gone. Somebody has stolen it and sold it to vintage stock.
You know what that makes them? Unruly.
Ne'er-do-wells. He was in the store with his 7-year-old son, Griffin.
Can you imagine the conversation with the owner of that store? I know this is going to sound crazy, but everything on that shelf is actually mine. Okay. Okay, buddy. Those are all my things.
He was told the figures could not be recovered until authorities confirmed that they were stolen. He has filed a police report.
I bet he has.
Festivus Friday is coming your way in just a few minutes, right after the news. Get in early. This is the best time to do it. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Festivus Monday on this real day of Festivus. When we return after the news here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.